All right. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Got a loaded mailbag show today. I've got questions about how Andrew Wiggins will fit in, players to acquire with the traded player exception, a question about Toast, and more. Let's start with this question from DG Smith Ward, who writes in, why in the world would Golden State use this pick on a project in the top five when Steph is 32 years old and only have a three-year window to get another title? They need to trade this thing for a proven vet. Thoughts? This is a topic that comes up over and over and over again. Should the Warriors trade out of this top five pick, a pick they're guaranteed to select in the top five? It's going to be the earliest pick they have since 2002. Should they trade that pick in order to maximize Steph's championship window? Should you pair this pick, a top five pick, with your $17.2 million allotment and the traded player exception? Should you combine those two things to go out and get a guy who can play right away and contribute to a championship team? I think it's a worthwhile question. And I think the Warriors would have been more apt to do that earlier in the season, before they put all the work that they've put into this draft. I think organizationally, you owe it to yourself to use this top five pick on a young prospect who can not only possibly contribute right away, but potentially develop into a franchise building block. All that said, let's say they do want to trade this pick with the traded player exception, go get a star. Who is it? Who's the guy? Who do you go get? Who is worth a top five pick and a TP? I read something on The Athletic this morning, Monday morning, that proposed something about like Marcus Smart. Look, I get that it's a weak draft, but you're going to trade a top five pick and you're going to use your TPE. You're going to burn two resources on Marcus Smart? Are you sure? Marcus Smart can't shoot? So you got issues playing him next to Draymond Green? Great defender. Does all the little things. Isn't that what Draymond's supposed to do? Are you really going to put more pressure now on Steph and Klay just because you want to put Marcus Smart out there? This is different. You don't have Kevin Durant anymore, folks. This player you acquire with the top five pick has to bring something offensively. Has to. Especially from a shooting perspective. Steph and Klay are very good. All-timers. All-timers. But Andrew Wiggins is not a floor spacer. What are we doing here? We don't talk about that enough. He could score. He can cut to the basket. He can finish. He's not really a floor spacer. He might get better. He's better in catch-and-shoot situations than he is pulling up. He'll do more of that. He'll be more efficient. He's not really a floor spacer. Draymond Green, I mean, like, he's never going to shoot 30% from three-point range again. I don't think so. And then who do you got at center? Marquise Chris tried to stretch the floor. He tried to be a floor-spacing five. Didn't work. When he stopped doing that, he found a place in the league. Kevon Looney's not doing that. Maybe you can go out there and find a Myers Leonard or Kelly Olynyk, a Nemanja Bjelica or something like that. Somebody who could stretch the floor from the five spot. But if you're going to go small and play Draymond at center, what are you going to do? Play Eric Paschal there? No. So you have none of this. So these things about going and getting like a Robert Covington, a Marcus Smart, these like non-offensive players. And like Covington is fine as a three-point shooter. He's overrated. He's a catch-and-shoot guy. He can't really do anything with the ball in his hands. Like, if you're going to burn this top five pick, where you have a real shot to get a building block type player, you better be getting a building block type player back. And Marcus Smart is not that. I like Marcus Smart. He's not that. Who is? Is Miles Turner an option? Could you stack this TPE? Can you go do a three-way trade where you take the TPE, you trade it for an expiring contract, you take a bigger contract, combine it with the expiring contract, and then move all of that to Indiana with a top five pick? Is Miles Turner worth that? I don't think so. No. He's good. I don't think he's worth that. Who is? Nikola Vucevic, same thing. Is he worth it? Is it worth going through those hoops? No. He's not. He's not worth it. No. Who is? Is it Kelly Oubre? I don't think so. No. I like Kelly Oubre. I might be the biggest Kelly Oubre fan there is in the league. I think he's got tremendous upside. I don't think he's got top five upside. And I think he's redundant once you sign Andrew Wiggins, once you traded for Andrew Wiggins. Well, you can bring Oubre off the bench. I don't think he's going to be down for that. I don't think he's useful that way. Where do you play him? Well, you got Wiggins, Oubre, and Draymond as your front court, basically. That's a little small. You're giving up a lot of size there. I don't know that that works. So who's the guy? You want a proven vet? Fine. Get that player with the traded player exception alone. You could do that with this. You don't have to combine the pick with it. If you want to combine a pick with it, combine next year's first-round pick. Your own. Not the Minnesota pick. Not the protected one, no. Take the Warriors, take your first-round pick, and combine that with the TPE. You can get a good player that way. You can go get your proven vet that way. Player, if you need that, you can use that. But don't blow this top five pick unless it's for an all-star player. An all-star, like a real all-star player, not like a fake all-star player. Like a real all-star player. Not one of these guys who went to one time or with an injury replacement. No, no, no. A real all-star, a perennial all-star. You can get that, who is not that old. Best basketball ahead of that player, type player. Yeah, maybe then. Yeah, maybe. But you owe it to yourself organizationally to use this top five pick. Trust your scouting. It's a weak draft. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bad draft. Just means that the good players aren't obvious. If you're telling me that the Warriors can add Anthony Edwards or Tyrese Haliburton or Denny Advija, I do that. Go do that. Those guys can contribute right away, and they fill an area of need at a cost-controlled contract. And they're young, and you need that. This is not the David Robinson draft for the Warriors. A lot of people like to compare this one to the David Robinson draft. I'm sorry, the Tim Duncan draft. When the Spurs had David Robinson, he got hurt for most of the season. They suck all year. They draft Tim Duncan number one overall. It's not that. This is more like when the Spurs drafted Kawhi. Go get a player who can contribute to your championship caliber rotation, your contending team. Get a player, draft a player who can contribute right away in a limited role, who can then grow into that role, and then overgrow. Become a franchise building block, potentially. That's who you need with this pick. Dolan writes in, can a player acquired with the TPE be traded for another player, say as part of a package for a bigger Greek player? This is the other part of the TPE that I keep talking about. This idea of, okay, go get Andre Iguodala or, you know, Rudy Gay on an expiring contract or Kelly Olynyk on an expiring contract or something like that. I think you'd be wasting this. You have a real opportunity to go get a player under a long-term contract or relatively long-term, past 1 year. You have a potential to go get a player who could be useful in a trade package. Rudy Gay's not useful in a trade package. If you don't want to use the full $17.2 million if you're Warriors ownership, it comes at the risk of not being able to maximize what this opportunity is and potentially not go get Giannis. Warriors fans love to talk about getting Giannis. I don't know that Andrew Wiggins, whoever you pick with this top five pick, Minnesota's protected pick, and then a bunch of other random draft picks that aren't really worth anything, that's not getting you Giannis. Are you kidding? Look at what Anthony Davis just got traded for. You think Wiggins and a couple of first-rounders is going to do it? No way. Throw in Pascal and Jordan Poole doesn't help. You need to get a guy with this traded player exception who not only is young-ish, right, who's in his prime, but could potentially not only fit in with what you got going on right now and contribute to a playoff rotation, but could be used in a package to go get a bigger player later. Because we don't know what Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are going to look like a year and 2 years from now. Draymond Green, we're already seeing the decline. We've seen it for 2 years now. Klay Thompson was coming off a serious ACL tear. We don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. There's a chance you have to push the chips in and go get Giannis or the other superstar to pair with Steph. There's a chance you need to do that. There's a chance, too, that this top five pick turns into that player who plays next to Steph. There's a chance that who you get with this TPE is a valuable part of a rotation going forward. So you can't waste these things, I don't think, if you're the Warriors. You just can't. These are not only valuable but rare opportunities. Go get your use the TPE, create another large cap slot, and get a player who could be valuable not only for your team right now. You don't get a player who just to trade him, but you get the player now who can help right now, who could be traded later. You don't really have to think about that. If you get a player who can help right now and in the future under a good contract, whose current team just doesn't want him because of whatever salary reasons, there's a lot of value in that. I think that's what you have to do. We're going to continue with the mailbag after this, including a question about what specific players the Warriors can target with that TPE. That's coming up next. This is Locked On Warriors. Got a question about toast and sandwiches later on, but first, the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. All right, our next question here in the mailbag comes from El Padrino 419, who writes in on Twitter, which one of these players should the Warriors use their TPE on? Also, which one of these players can the Warriors get without using their top five pick? So we're kind of rounding out our conversation here. So El Padrino here shared with me a graph on Twitter. He's got two columns. A chart, I should say. Two columns. Realistic targets and unrealistic targets. Under the realistic targets, he has Rudy Gay, Evan Fournier, Tomas Satoransky, Thaddeus Young, Bobby Portis, and Tony Snell. Under the unrealistic candidates, he has Aaron Gordon, Kelly Oubre, Miles Turner, Will Barton, Dennis Schroeder, and Eric Bledsoe. Look, I would like to add a player into this mix, Ricky Rubio from the Suns. That makes a lot of sense to me. Phoenix can still draft a point guard in the lottery, I think. I don't know if Rubio is part of their long-term plans. I think that would be a steal if you were the Warriors. But look, I think Tony Snell would be a decent addition. It's not a home run addition, but it gives you length. It gives you some shooting, theoretically. I would stay away from Bobby Portis. What we hear from him from a locker room situation isn't great. He's a pretty limited player, especially defensively. Thaddeus Young is okay. I'm not in love with the idea, but I think he could fit if you're just looking for a dude who can rebound, maybe hit some threes from the corner, just be a big body, potentially play the four next to Draymond Green playing the five. That makes some sense to me, just as Rudy Gay does. Satoransky, I don't love. Fournier, people are high on him. I don't love the fit. I just think that you're giving up a lot of size there if your goal is to play Draymond, Wiggins, Fournier, Clay, and Steph. You could do worse than Evan Fournier, but I don't know that I'd be going all the way in, especially if it would require a pick. Unrealistic, Aaron Gordon, Kelly Oubre, Miles Turner, Will Barton, Dennis Schroeder, Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, you're going to have to include picks to get those guys. I don't know that anybody is worth it. Like, anybody. Not this top five pick. If you can get a first, if you could trade a future first, like the Warriors first in 2021 for a guy like Aaron Gordon or Miles Turner, I think you got to think about it. Will Barton, same thing. I mean, he would be a home run. But, I don't know. Throw Josh Richardson in there. I've been talking about this for months. Does Philadelphia try to get off some money? Because they're going to be paying their roster a lot of money. Do they try to get off of Josh Richardson and get a draft pick? Like, would you, if you're the Warriors, would you trade the fifth pick overall and the TPE for Josh Richardson? It's worth thinking about. Richardson's a good player. So I don't know. Gary writes in, if the Warriors get the top pick, which team is the likeliest trade candidate and why? The answer there is the New York Knicks. There's a couple, and I would probably say the Knicks and the Cavaliers. On our mock draft on the network last week, Chris Manning joined me in with the Cavaliers. They had the number two pick, and he selected LaMelo Ball. He believes that the Cavaliers really want LaMelo, like that he is the sort of guy that gives them an identity that they haven't had since LeBron left. And I know they got all these guards, but I don't think that they're looking at it that way. You know, they got Darius Garland last year, Colin Sexton before that. I don't think they're looking at it that way. I think they see LaMelo as a guy who could play with them and take over the reins of that team. And so if the Cavaliers fall to five or six or whatever, and the Knicks fall, you know, far back enough where LaMelo is going to get taken and the Warriors are in position to take LaMelo Ball, I could, like, at 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that, I could absolutely see one of those teams trading up for LaMelo Ball. Those are the teams I would say, the Cavaliers and the Knicks. Now, I'll say this. It depends on how far back they go back. I don't think the Warriors want to go to the back half of the lottery. I think they'd like to stay in the top half of the lottery. It also depends, of course, on what they're offering. Scott writes in, is Toast actually a tostada? I gave this a lot of thought. This is a great question. It is. Toast and tostadas are the same thing. I think that every country kind of has their own versions of a lot of things. Like, everybody has a version of a ravioli. Maybe it's an empanada, some sort of pastry thing. Like, a lot of people have their own version of the ravioli. A lot of people have their own version of donuts. You know, again, a lot of pastries, a lot of sort of sweet pastries and stuff like that. A lot of people have their own version of pizza. I think everybody has their own version of toast. I did some research. A tostada, you know, when you and I go to a restaurant here, a tostada usually has stuff on top of it. But you don't have, like, a tostada is just defined as the toasted tortilla. You can just eat a tostada, which is basically just a toasted tortilla. That counts. That's what toast is. You might go to your bougie brunch restaurant, you get a piece of toast, and it's got, like, mascarpone cheese and a bunch of fresh fruit and all this stuff on top of it. It's delicious. It's just souped up toast. You take all that stuff off of it, it's still toast. Take all that stuff off of it, it's still a tostada. This next question comes from DJ, who writes in, when sports reporters use, quote, league sources to legitimize their offseason story, what percentage of the time are they actually legit sources? And when they do use a pretend NBA, quote, league source, shouldn't it be an association source? On that last point, great point, DJ. It's called the National Basketball Association, not the National Basketball League. So should it be league sources or association sources? This is one of those cases where the thing that makes sense didn't work out, okay? Association source makes more sense. That's what it is. It's an association. The source is within the association, allegedly. It's not the league, but it is a league. We all call it the league. We've called it the league for years. So we're just going to keep calling it the league. The NBA and then the league. It's just the way it is. Sorry. It doesn't make sense. Sort of like how we don't use the metric system. Like, we should. It makes more sense. We just don't because we've been doing it this way for so long. So, but it's a good point. When sports reporters use league sources to legitimize their offseason story, what percentage of the time are they actually legit sources? I don't know. I wish I could give you a percentage number on when it's fake or real. I could tell you this. I never write league sources without actually having league sources. People who I know and trust, who I talk to, you know, in league circles, association circles, I guess I should say, I trust them, and when they write league sources, I trust that they're being real about it. That said, you know when kind of guys are faking it a little bit. You know when guys are faking it a little bit. When they don't really believe their own league source. And by the way, league source is a very general term. But there's even more general terms that you can see thrown around every once in a while. People around the team. That's one of my favorites. That means nothing. What's some other good ones? General belief, you know, kind of thing. Many in the league believe this and that. That's just like nonsense stuff. That's like you talk to some other reporters and they thought something. All right, you talk to a couple of PR guys and they're giving you their opinion. If you see what should be news buried deep into the story, that means the person writing it doesn't trust it that much. That's a good telltale sign. Like, if they're like, you know, X and X thinks that they have a real shot at Giannis in 2021, but that's like the third to last paragraph, they don't really believe that. They're not really reporting that with hard evidence, okay? Because that's news. That would be a headline, right? That's how you usually know. Like, you want to put it out there. You're kind of feeling it. But you don't want to really put your name behind it. I see that all the time. Look, you're smart. I don't need to tell you who to trust. I don't need to tell you not to trust. There's some burner account on Twitter saying league sources, LeBron James is going to the Warriors. You're not going to believe that. If Woj is tweeting something out, you're going to believe it. If it's Brian Windhorst, you're going to believe it. Hopefully, if I tweet something, you'll believe it. I don't know. I don't know if you believe me or not. You should. I'm not a newsbreaker. That's not what I try to do. So, but I do. I've broken news this last season. And when I have it, I'll tell you. I'm not going out of my way. I'm not trying to make a living out of newsbreaking. But there are people out there who try to do that, and they fail all the time. And they're not trusted. And you know who those people are. I don't need to tell you who those people are. But I do need to tell you about Blinkist. If you're like me, you've tried to make the most of this pandemic by buying a bunch of books that you swore you would read, and now your reading list has only gotten longer. At least that was until I found this great tool called Blinkist. While juggling things like working from home, cooking, and childcare, it's hard to find the time to read. That's where Blinkist comes in. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction titles and condenses them down into a quick 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. And it works on your phone, tablet, or web browser. It's perfect if you want to get the main points of a book quickly so that you could start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book when you break for lunch, work around the house, or while you're exercising. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, accessing its massive and growing library. Self-help, business, health, history, bestsellers, classic, nonfiction titles. Blinkist has the books that you always meant to read but never had the time to. Right now and for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days. And if you love it, after that, you could save 25% off when you sign up for a new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial and save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. And with the ever-increasing number of vehicle make and models, it can be impossible to stock all of the parts that you need, especially now while you may not be able to or willing to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at traditional chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all of the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. This next question comes from that kid, A-Train, who writes in, how do the Warriors front office feel about the Andrew Wiggins acquisition post-regular season? This is a great question. I think the Warriors were ready to enter off-season mode. They didn't want to play another game. They knew they were eliminated from the playoffs already. But if they had one regret with the season getting cut short the way it did, it was that they only saw Andrew Wiggins in one game with Steph and in one game with Draymond. That they didn't get a large sample to see what Andrew Wiggins could do. Now, in the games he did play, they were encouraged. They liked his ability to cut off the ball. He was making shots. His efficiency numbers were way better than they were in Minnesota. More importantly, I think they were encouraged by how eager he accepted the challenge of playing one-on-one defense. They played him on point guards a lot toward the end there. I think that was an experiment that is really important. You don't know what Klay Thompson's going to look like when he comes back. You don't know if you necessarily want him staying in front of ball handlers all the time. If you can ask Andrew Wiggins to do that, that eases the pressure off of Klay Thompson quite a bit next season defensively. So I think they were encouraged with what they saw. They just didn't see much of it. And that's the problem. And so if you get these mini camps, summer sort of activities, and you can see more of Andrew Wiggins out there, you can throw him the playbook again, you can have him run through stuff alongside Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you can get all those guys together for the first time, that would be immensely valuable for the Warriors. Because otherwise, you're going 9 months in between games probably, if not longer. So how do they feel about it? They feel encouraged. I think they would make the same trade over and over again. D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins. I think they would make that switch over and over again. I think they're very happy with the fit there. It made more sense, okay? They're going to be able to get the lineups that they like better. They truly believe that their culture can bring the best out of Andrew Wiggins, and we started to see that happen. You would just like to see more of that. You would like to have more runway for him to really develop. And again, that's why anything that they can do over summer is going to be immensely valuable. Jay writes in, Will we have to trade Andrew Wiggins because of the salary cap? Also, could you see us targeting Hassan Whiteside from Portland? And can we just trade the pick this summer for an asset? So a few questions here. Will you have to trade Andrew Wiggins for the salary cap? That was not the point. The reason you made the sign-and-trade for D'Angelo Russell in the first place was to create that max cap slot, or really, rather, maintain that max cap slot that you were losing when Kevin Durant left. So you always had in mind, if you're this ownership group, and if you're Bob Myers, somebody would be filling that max cap slot. If you were to trade Andrew Wiggins and take less salary back, you have now lowered your spending capacity. If you want to win, you got to spend. And the Warriors are willing to spend if it means they're going to win, and they think Andrew Wiggins will be a part of that. Now, if they come to a decision where Andrew Wiggins cannot be a part of a winning team, of a title-contending team, you trade Andrew Wiggins, and you may have to combine some other stuff to do that, but you're not going to lose that max cap slot. You would flip him the way they flipped D'Angelo Russell. Get a player who's of a max salary or close to it, who is better for this team and improves their chances to win a championship. Targeting Whiteside from Portland? No, that's not going to happen. No way. Look, I've before I had this Warriors podcast, before I was covering the Warriors full time, I was covering the Miami Heat and I was doing the Locked On Heat podcast. I know a lot about Hassan Whiteside, and I know that he is the opposite player that the Warriors want. He was the opposite player that the Heat wanted. They didn't know that when they signed him to almost a max contract. They were really happy to get off of him. And look how much better they are without him. Whiteside's not been that good in Portland. He had one good game against the Warriors. And he'll put up those numbers every once in a while. But you don't want that guy. Okay? He's a non-passer. I mean, the Warriors, just first of all, I'm not even going to get into the locker room stuff, or the character concerns, the immaturity, whatever. Even the injury concerns. I'm not going to get into any of that. The Warriors want their centers to be able to pass. Hassan Whiteside is the worst passing center in the league, and it's not close. So there, that's not going to happen just because of that. Can we just trade the pick this summer for an asset? Yeah, you could, but I covered it in the top of the show here. That would be dumb unless you can get a perennial all-star back. Anything short of the perennial all-star, use the pick. Trust your scouting. Trust the work you've done. Take a player. Make the most out of that player. Let that player contribute right away, develop slowly but surely, and maybe turn into a building block for your team. I think there are players in this draft who could be just that. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions for this week. You can keep sending questions to me on Twitter, @WC Goldberg. Stay safe.